The Public News Service Daily Newscast, March the 31st, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. President Joe Biden expected to announce his infrastructure stimulus plan today to boost the pandemic recovery. Our Diane Bernard reports in coming weeks it will also include a proposal for paid family leave.
Advocates for working families say the pandemic has underscored the need in states like Virginia that have no state-level leave policy. Organizers of the Paid Leave for All campaign say only 19% of U.S. workers have access to paid family leave. This has been devastating to essential workers in the pandemic, says campaign director Dawn Hucklebridge. She thinks the new stimulus aid offers a window to establish a national policy.
We can't come out of a pandemic, another pandemic, without making some structural changes and without honoring the people who really carried us through this, you know, particularly the essential workers and frontline workers who have continued going into work every day at risk to their own health, often without the guarantee of a single paid day of leave.
In Virginia, even unpaid leave isn't an option for 55% of workers, but lawmakers against a paid leave requirement say it could hurt small business owners and that these types of policies should be set by employers.
A recent study shows 79% of Virginia voters in 2020 supported a permanent paid family and medical leave program. The General Assembly there is considering a bill to guarantee paid sick leave to essential employees. Meantime, to the Silver State, where in recent years lawmakers raised the minimum wage and required large employers to offer paid sick days, despite opposition from the mining, gaming, and retail industries, Leo Marietta is with the nonprofit Make the Road Nevada.
It increases productivity. It increases longevity for employees. So these types of laws are really good for businesses. The fact that they don't like to pay for it is besides the point.
The need for affordable housing continues to outgrow the supply in Colorado and also across the U.S., according to a new report.
For every 100 of Colorado's lowest-income households, there are just 30 affordable rentals. A disproportionate number of the state's lowest-paid workers are people of color, and nearly 3 in 4 households are forced to spend more than half their income on housing. Kathy Alderman with the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless says these families are at increasing risk of losing their homes.
A 2-individual household would need to be making between $50,000 and $75,000 in order to afford a rental in Colorado. And that's much higher than our current minimum wage would allow if somebody was working 40 hours a week.
Cities across Colorado have taken some steps to grow their inventory of affordable housing. I'm Eric Galatis.
This is PNS. Winter may no longer have a grip on Michigan, but some folks might be feeling a chill just by opening their next home heating bill.
Furnaces were working overtime last month due to a cold snap. And Lauren Youngdahl-Snyder with Consumers Energy says utility customers could find their bills are 25% higher or more.
February was actually one of the 5 coldest Februaries on record. And so we know customers might see a little bit of sticker shock. And we also know that there are tremendous amounts of dollars and resources available that have been untapped.
No matter the circumstance, Snyder says there are programs to help every type of utility customer. Consumers Energy and other utilities offer payment arrangements. People can also call 211 to be connected with nonprofit agencies that can assist with applications for a home heating credit or state emergency relief. Mary Sherman reporting.
According to the National Energy Assistance Directors Association, U.S. households owe more than $27 billion in utility energy debt this year. That compares to just $11 billion at the end of 2019. Critics of standardized testing say the federal government should reduce or pause these tests since the pandemic has upended so many students' learning efforts in the last year. Some education groups and teachers' unions argue standardized tests disproportionately affect black and brown students and those in at-risk communities. Becky Pringle is with the National Education Association.
And so for us to give a standardized test in this moment, we already know that standardized tests are not valid or reliable. They are certainly not valid or reliable in the middle of a pandemic where we have some students in school, some students out of school.
She says testing shouldn't come at the expense of learning, especially after so much classroom time has been lost. Finally, Eric Tegetoff tells us Head Start employees in the Washington State Capital area want more flexibility as kids return to the classroom.
Sophia Rickner is a teacher who heads the Federation of Head Start Employees. She says some of her union members aren't able to return to the classroom because of their own children's needs, including parents of kids with special needs and older kids who don't have child care options. Rickner says employees already have experience working from home and would have to take time off to care for their kids.
Allow those individuals to do as much work from home as is needing to be done that can be done from home, as opposed to requiring them to take sick leave and leave without pay.
Governor Jay Inslee is mandating that children return to classrooms by the week of April 19th, although he is only requiring 2 days of in-person teaching per week. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on some of the nation's most interesting radio stations, and online at publicnewsservice.org.